Today's Bible reading is from Acts chapter 21, starting at verse 7. Acts 21, starting at verse 7. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." This is the word of the Lord.
When I was a theological student in Sydney at Sydney Missionary and Bible College, our principal at that time would often half seriously say that in ministry you must always be ready to do three things. You may have heard it before. You must always be ready to preach, you must always be ready to pray, you must always be ready to die. He sort of said it tongue-in-cheek, but only half tongue-in-cheek, because it's a reality. Now, the first two I think I could do now. The third one, I'm not sure. And it does seem unlikely, so we don't worry about it too much. But the reality of facing suffering, persecution, and even death in service of the gospel is not unusual, either in church history or today. It's said that the missionaries going to Africa in the 19th century would pack all their belongings into their coffins. We're not sure if it was actually true or not, but the reality is most of them would never return home again because they would die there, either from malaria or other diseases or from being put to death. More recently, in my work with Langham, some of my colleagues in India were travelling to a province in northwest India which is known for radical Hinduism. And they went there knowing that it was a dangerous place to go. They said, "Please pray for us." They tried to keep it secret. But one of the attendees had posted a photo online, no indication, but it was enough for people to find out where they were. And then they got news that a mob was coming for them. Everyone scattered. The facilitators who'd come from another state had to hop in their car and drive overnight while they were being chased. Because if they were caught, who knows what would happen to them. They eventually kept driving until they crossed into another state where they were safe. Facing attack and possible death is a reality for many of our brothers and sisters, and particularly for those who take the role of leaders or serve the gospel. But it's so strange to us, isn't it? Because we do everything we can to avoid those situations. In Australia, I think particularly, we're very averse to danger and risk. We have plans and we have backup plans. We try and have laws and rules and regulations and systems in place to avoid any sort of uncertainty and danger. And yet, both the Bible and church history, I think, challenge this approach to life, particularly in Christian ministry. So I want to look at the story of Paul from the passage that was read just then and the wider context of Paul's service and think about what it says to us today. Paul is travelling to Jerusalem. He said goodbye to the leaders of the church at Ephesus, and now he's going to Jerusalem with an offering to help because of the famine. And he's already said that once he gets there, he plans to turn around and go back west, go to Rome, and use the church at Rome as a springboard to support ministry in Spain. So that's the plan. And he's getting close to Jerusalem. He's now reached Tyre, which is north of Israel in what's now Lebanon. And he gets some warnings. The first is actually in verse 4 of this chapter. When he's in Tyre, we read this. "We sought out the disciples there and stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem." It's a bit strange, isn't it? The Spirit is speaking through these other people to Paul, and Paul seems to disregard the message. Is he disregarding the word of the Spirit? What's going on there? What is this warning? Well, if we then go on to verse 11 in the passage we just read, it becomes a bit clearer about who is saying what. Agabus ties himself up in Paul's belt and says, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." It becomes clear that the Spirit is not saying, "Don't go." The Spirit is saying, if you go to Jerusalem, this is what will happen. You'll suffer there. But the interpretation of the other Christians there is, oh, therefore you shouldn't go. You're going to suffer, you're going to be bound, therefore you shouldn't go. It's not the Spirit saying don't go, but it's the Christian's response to that warning. Actually, as we look at this, we see two different responses to these warnings. The first one is the natural response. If you know this is going to be a place of danger and difficulty, you do everything you can to avoid the danger, or you don't go at all. Now, of course, sometimes people will willingly go into a situation of great danger. Soldiers do this all the time in times of war for the sake of their families or their nation or whatever. They go knowing that many of them will die. But in normal life, we do everything we can to avoid that. And if there's someone we care about who is facing that decision, of course, we'll discourage them. If it's our own family or our friends, we want them to stay safe as well. So we see two responses in this passage. The first is that very normal and natural response, don't go. And it's interesting, not just the Christians, but even Paul's co-workers were saying don't go. Verse 12, Luke writes, "We pleaded with Paul." Luke and the rest of the missionary band were saying to Paul, "Don't go to Jerusalem because you'll be imprisoned when you get there." So many of our colleagues, even today, where we live in Taiwan, have faced this or continue to face this sort of response from family and friends, even from their supporting churches. We have earthquakes all the time in Taiwan, sometimes really big ones. Even more, there's the constant awareness that a war could break out, China could attack Taiwan at any time. And so people are saying, "Don't go there. How can you go there? How can you take your children there? It'd be better maybe if you returned home now, because it's getting more and more tense." So even today, we see Christians facing, particularly missionaries, facing this sort of response. And their response is not wrong in of itself. In other situations, Paul does avoid danger. We know the story where he was let out through a window in the wall in a basket and lowered from the city so he could get away. Jesus, likewise, multiple times slipped away from danger. He avoided arrest and avoided death many times. So we see here that the alternative to choosing safety is not deliberately choosing to stay in a dangerous situation. But what we see here is a choice between those prioritizing safety and Paul's other response, which is choosing obedience. Paul says, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm willing to do anything, even die for the sake of Jesus." But why does he go to Jerusalem? Why does he not choose to go somewhere else at this time? He's not going there deliberately to be a martyr or to suffer. He's going there because he knows that's where God wants him to go. And so he's choosing obedience rather than safety. Now, how do we know God wants him to go there? If we turn back to chapter 20, Paul, with the Ephesian elders, tells them that. Chapter 20, verse 22, Paul says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." So notice, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. He's going because God has told him this is the place he must go. And in fact, he also clarifies it's not only Jerusalem that he's going to suffer. Wherever he goes, he can't avoid it. So he's not deliberately choosing danger, but he is going into a place that he knows is dangerous, because he knows also that's where God wants him to go. What is more important to Paul, safety or obedience? Preserving his life or fulfilling his ministry? Well, it's quite clear from his words here, isn't it? My life is worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task. So this is Paul, his mission, his calling, his obedience to what God is leading him to do. And everyone else is making it harder for him to do that. Even his colleagues are discouraging him from going where he knows he needs to go. It reminds me of Peter and his words to Jesus, that when Jesus starts talking about the cross, Peter, as we know, of course, says, no way, don't even consider it. That Jesus and Paul both are doing what they know they need to do, but those around them, even their colleagues, are saying, no, don't do it, avoid danger at all costs. And again, often we who watch others make those decisions are like that. We can discourage people from obedience because we are more concerned about their safety than they are. Families of missionaries certainly are often much more worried about the missionaries than the missionaries themselves. So Paul, it's very clear. He's ready to be bound. He's ready to suffer. He's even ready to die for Jesus if that's what it involves to be obedient. But to understand how this relates to us today, we need to put Paul's situation here into the bigger context of the book of Acts in the New Testament. As we read these passages, did you notice the parallels between Paul and Jesus? I can see at least three ways that Paul and his actions and attitudes are mimicking what Jesus himself went through. The first is Paul is compelled to go to Jerusalem, just like Jesus was compelled to go to Jerusalem. Herod, Jesus was also warned, don't go to Jerusalem, Herod's there, he wants to kill you. And his response in the book of Luke, Luke 13:33, was, in any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. He knew he was going to Jerusalem to die, but he also knew he must go to Jerusalem to die according to God's will. And Paul has that same, I must go to Jerusalem. Jesus had to go to Jerusalem to be rejected and to die at the heart of Israel, the city of Jerusalem. And we get that same picture of Paul. At this stage of his ministry, this is the place he has to go to. Secondly, they both go to Jerusalem knowing that they will suffer and that they have to suffer. And it's interesting, the description of their suffering is also very similar. They are both bound by the Jews and handed over to the Gentiles. Jesus himself in the Gospel also said of the Son of Man, he'll be delivered to the Gentiles. And that's exactly Agabus's description of what will happen to Paul. He'll be bound by the Jews and handed over to the Gentiles. Again, almost seems to be a deliberate parallel of Paul's experience copying what Jesus went through. And then the third aspect is their attitude to this. And the attitude is a willingness to submit to the will of God. Paul convinced the believers he must go, and when he did so, their response was, the Lord's will be done. Sound familiar? It's very much the same as Jesus' words in the garden as he struggled with accepting the will of God. And so we see these parallels between Jesus and the representative of Jesus, Paul. And I think this is deliberate by Luke in writing it this way to show us that the servants of Christ follow in the footsteps of Christ. That his representatives share his experiences. It's not just Paul, we see some other similar parallels in the book of Acts as well. But it's a reminder that Paul is not just this crazy man seeking martyrdom. He's simply following in the footsteps of his Lord. But is it just Paul, or is it more than just Paul? Well, later on when he writes to Timothy, he says that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Paul is unique as the apostle to the Gentiles, but the actions and the attitudes of Paul, I think, are also reflective that there is a template or a model for all who will follow. That as Paul walks in the footsteps of Jesus, we also follow Jesus and then follow the example of Paul who follows Jesus. And so it's describing something for us to reflect on for our own lives as servants of the gospel. And so what does it say to us today? I want to go back to those three parallels between Paul and Jesus and take it one step further to think about what we can learn from it today. The first thing is location. Where are we willing to go for the sake of the gospel? Jesus was compelled to go to Jerusalem. Paul was also compelled to go to Jerusalem, even though it's the place of danger. But what about us? It's probably not Jerusalem, but where are you willing to go for the sake of the gospel? Or maybe we can flip it around and say, where are you not willing to go? Do you want to come and join us in Taiwan? You will feel earthquakes all the time. You'll be in a place that you're wondering when there's the next air raid drill, is it the real thing or is it just another practice run? Do you want to come and join us? It's a place of some uncertainty at the moment, although life in Taiwan at the moment is currently quite pleasant. But what about Myanmar? Recently, I went to Myanmar for a Langham training event. I hadn't been for 4 or 5 years because of the civil war, pandemic, then civil war. And I was told by my colleagues there, well, we'll just meet in Yangon. It's the capital. It's relatively safe. There can be bombs sometimes, but mostly it's okay. So I thought, I'll check out the Australian Government Travel Advisory. And went to the webpage, and for Myanmar, it simply says, do not travel. And there's a map of Myanmar showing the dangerous areas. Every part of the country was in red. And then a list of all the reasons why you shouldn't go there. Okay, I've already bought my ticket. My colleagues say it should be okay. I'm going anyway. But what was most striking to me was when I was there, I was introduced to a family. A family from Australia, from Brisbane, who had just a few months before moved to Myanmar and started studying Burmese with the intention of staying there and serving the gospel there. A young couple with a baby less than 1 year old. They had deliberately chosen to go into that place of significant unrest and danger for the sake of the gospel. Where are you willing to go? Where are you not willing to go? Are there limits on what we will say to God? But if you're not willing to go, why not? If God puts a place on your heart, if he's opening doors, if he's directing you somewhere, are you going to say no? Or make it even easier, not just thinking overseas. What about within Australia? To another state, to another city, maybe to an area of a city where it's not so safe or pleasant, or maybe a country town. Are there places that you want to say to God, no, I don't want to go there. The schools are not so good. It doesn't feel as safe. There's a higher crime rate. I'm just not going to feel comfortable in that environment. Do we put limits on where we're willing to go for the sake of the gospel? I know how it feels. It's hard. It's challenging. We felt that when we made that decision to first go to Taiwan. Our families were not keen on us leaving. We were taking Irene's parents' only grandson away from them. We ourselves had never been to Taiwan before when we went there, knowing it would be 4 years before we came back to Australia. It can be scary. But do we put limits on where we are willing to go? Again, going back to the colleagues I have in Myanmar, they will often travel through war zones to run training events. And they'll write on our prayer chat, I'm going to this place, it's dangerous, please pray for me. And then they'll go and do it anyway. Are we willing to face those sort of situations ourselves for the sake of the gospel if that's where God is directing us? The second thing is, what will we face? Where will we go? What will we face if we are obedient in serving the gospel? Paul goes to Jerusalem, actually not going to the unknown. He knows, because he's just been told, he's going to be arrested, he's going to be bound. He knows it will be tough. He goes knowing he will suffer. And as I mentioned, the Bible promises suffering, persecution to all who would be obedient and seek to be godly in Christ. Not necessarily prison or death. For most of us, it's not that. But there are always hardships and difficulties. It may be simply the sacrifices that come from being in a new, strange, unsettling place. It may be that lower standard of living. It may be less security, or less cleanliness, or less comfort. When we have new missionaries join us in Taiwan, we will tell them ahead of time, you know it's going to be hard, you will suffer. Even though Taiwan is a relatively wealthy and easy place to live, they have to learn language, study Chinese for 2 years, and within a few months we know they'll be incredibly frustrated and will feel like failures, because everyone does when they're learning a language. After about 6 months, you'll see three-year-old kids just chatting away in the language that you cannot even string a sentence together in. what use am I going to be in sharing the gospel? I can't even speak. They will hate the place because of culture shock. They'll hate the people because it's so strange and odd. It will be hard. It always is hard. And yet they come knowing that. Sometimes they forget it once they're in the midst of it. But it's the reality of serving Jesus. And not just on the mission field, but all service will bring its own hardships. In many ways, they're part of God's preparation for ministry as he humbles us and shows us our weaknesses. But it's something we have to go through. What are you willing to face for the sake of the gospel? Are there hardships or difficulties that you say, no way, I'm not willing to do that. It's too much. We look again at both Jesus and Paul. And Paul, well, I don't count my life anything. I just want to finish the task that God has called me to. But why do it? Why not stay where at least we feel safe? Why not stay where at least we feel like we've got some control? It's really in the final, the last thing is, it's a matter of trust and obedience. Where are you willing to go? What are you willing to face? And finally, who are you going to trust? Is it your own ability to make your life safe or feel safe? Or is it in the Lord and his will? Jesus submits to the will of his Father. Paul goes to Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus, both of them saying, your will be done. Are we willing to trust in the Lord's will, even to embrace the Lord's will for us, despite the fact it might take us into unknown, strange, unsettling, or even dangerous places? Or do we let our fears control us and say, well, I will serve you, but within this box, within these parameters. I'll go here, but not there. I'm willing to face this, but not that. We all of us feel fears when we step out in obedience to Christ. Again, not just missionaries, but in all ministry. But what do you fear? Do you fear being put into a place of physical danger or facing sickness? Do you fear simply a loss of comfort and being in a familiar place, a loss of lifestyle? Do you fear being cut off from people and friends and family? Do you fear failure? I could never learn a language. I could never adapt to that environment. I could never do that sort of ministry. Or do you fear for your own family or your children? I could never take them into that situation. Again, I feel it too. Even now, I feel it as I travel more and more in the countries that do feel unsettled, unclean. I wonder, is it safe to walk down that street? Is it safe to eat that food? Is what I'm doing in this country strictly legal? Because I'm there as a tourist, but I'm actually doing ministry. Again, it's a matter of, am I willing to trust that this is what God wants me to do at this time and set those fears aside? In the end, it's trusting God and his will. Hudson Taylor once said, he founded the China Inland Mission, which became OMF, our organization. Unless there is an element of risk in our exploits for God, there is no need for faith. If we're never willing to step out and face risk, it puts a question mark about the reality of our faith. Because faith will lead us into places that feel risky and dangerous. And when we do that, it is normal to be afraid. It is normal to be worried about these things. And it's interesting that Paul, although he has all this bravado, I'm willing to do this, I'm willing to die for Christ, I just want to do what he sent me to do, I'm sure Paul himself felt uncertainty and fear at times. In fact, I'm sure he did, because God repeatedly spoke to Paul to reassure him. God wouldn't have said those words if he didn't need to hear them. And so after this passage we're reading, twice in Acts, God actually appears directly to Paul. Paul, after this warning, does go to Jerusalem. It only takes about a week before he's arrested. And from then on, he's constantly in danger as the Jews are plotting to kill him. So he is bound. He's handed over to the Romans. And then in Acts 23, verse 11, we read these words. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." He has been arrested, as it was predicted, as it was prophesied. But God is saying, I'm still with you. Your life is still in my hands. Then finally he's sent to Rome, but not as he planned to go, he's sent as a prisoner. And on the way there is this massive shipwreck, and everyone on board the ship is sure they're going to die. But again, God appears to Paul. If you flip over to chapter 27 and verse 24, we can see what God says. 27:24. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. And then Paul responds, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. He chooses to trust in God every step of the way, and God reminds him, I'm with you. Take courage, do not be afraid. Those words don't mean he won't suffer. They don't mean that he'll suddenly be released. He's constantly facing dangers, but what it does mean is, Paul, I'm still with you. I haven't forgotten you. I'm fulfilling my purposes for your life. God is saying to Paul, don't waver, don't doubt, don't fear, trust me. Your life is in my hands. And so the challenge to us is, where are you willing to go for the sake of the gospel? What are you willing to face for the sake of the gospel? And in those situations, who are you going to trust and who are you going to obey? Is it going to be your fears that hold you back? Is it going to be the voices of others who are worried about you, who say, no, 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 don't do it? Or are we willing to follow wherever the Lord leads, to do whatever he wants us to do, and entrust our lives into his hands, knowing that, yes, he is sufficient? Take courage, do not fear. Will we choose safety, or will we choose trust and obedience? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example and model that Paul sets to us as your servant. We thank you for the way he faithfully follows in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. And we ask that as we reflect on his words and his attitude, that you would speak to us as well. That you would challenge us to be willing to put our lives into your hands. That you would encourage us to trust in you and to know that those words, do not be afraid, are for us as well. And I pray for all of us here that in whatever ministries you lead us, whatever places you take us, whatever situations you put us in, that we too would know that we can trust you and that you will be faithful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Phil, for sharing with us from God's word today. Let us stand as we sing our final song.